Okay. Well, today's topic is charity. In fact, it will require a lot of investigations, a lot of studies in order to understand the passage. So I hope that you will be able to pay utmost attention to the message that is going to be delivered this morning. If we carefully read the passage we are going to study today, we will find that one same word is found in all four verses. We read only four verses, and each and every one of those verses has this particular word, that is alms, A-L-M-S. As an English word, it means anything given gratuitously to relieve the poor, as money, food, or clothing. Otherwise, it can be also called as charity. It may be helpful to see maybe some other verses from the other parts of the scriptures that have this particular word alms in order to find its implications. So I'm going to read a few verses from different parts of the New Testament especially. Let me go to Acts chapter 3 verses 2 and 3 first. Acts chapter 3 verse 2 says, "And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms." So here is a man who was born as a lame person, so disabled, and he was sitting right next to the gate of the temple, and he was asking for alms. Acts chapter 3 verse 10 says, "And they knew that it was he." Somehow that person was miraculously healed by the name of Christ Jesus. And chapter 3 verse 10 says, "The people knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." Acts chapter 10 verse 2, we are talking about Cornelius. Chapter 10 verse 2 says, "A devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always." And verse 4 in Acts chapter 10, "And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, 'What is it, Lord?'" He was having an encounter with the Lord's angel. And he said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." Acts chapter 10 verse 31 says, "And said Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God." Acts chapter 24 verse 17 says, "Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings." Here Paul is saying that he was bringing alms to his own countrymen, in Jerusalem especially, the Christians. Luke chapter 12, verses 32 to 34. Luke 12, 32 says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags with wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Well, if we make a list of conditions for which alms had to be taken from all those so far quoted verses, we may say the following things. Number one, a helpless beggar was begging, and what was given to him was alms. So in order to know about almsgiving or charity, we need to understand what it is supposed to mean. Alms, it is talking about something that has to be given to the poor or beggar. What the beggar desired from people was an alms. Number two, in case of Cornelius, he was an alms giver, and he helped the poor. He helped other people. So alms is something that is given to the poor, to the needy, or to those people who are in need. Number three, in case of Paul, he brought alms from the overseas back to his own country to help the poor. In this case, it is almost like a foreign aid donated by Christians to help their poor brethren in Jerusalem. Number four, from the passage of Luke chapter 12, almsgiving comes from our own pockets by selling our own things, which is an indication that almsgiving is not just a lip service, but almsgiving requires our sacrifice, because we are supposed to dispose our things in order to support other people. It requires sacrifice. Number five, almsgiving produces eternal effect. Especially chapter 12 in the Gospel of Luke is very important. In fact, let me read Luke chapter 12, verses 32 to 34 once again. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In other words, there is a way that we can lay up our treasures in heaven. Of course, through the offerings given to the Lord. But another way that we can lay up our treasures in heaven is through almsgiving. That has, almsgiving or charitable work has eternal effect even in heaven. I think it must speak to a lot of professing Christians who are greedy, who are selfish, whose motivations are fully given to add more wealth to their own pockets rather than taking their own things to share with the needy and poor. Those ones who have never learned to give must listen to this particular message from the Scriptures. Almsgiving. Giving alms is like laying treasures in heaven. All these cases indicate that giving alms is like doing a charitable work today. By definition, charity is, in a general sense, in quote, love, benevolence, goodwill, that disposition of a heart which inclines men to think favorably of their fellow men and to do them good. End of quote. It also refers to, in quote, liberality to the poor, consisting in almsgiving or benefactions or in gratuitous services to relieve them in distress. End of quote. Thus, we may know that the passage we are going to study today is about the charity work in our times, or donations given to the causes in order to relieve the poor or the needy from the burdens of life. And also, we should not forget that God remembers. That is the key point, one of the key points from this particular passage. We should never forget that God remembers our charity, as we have seen Cornelius' case. God saw it, God remembered it, and God praised him. God commended him of his charity. I also want you to know that there is a discrepancy in the Greek text. Our traditional text and modern Greek texts employ different Greek words for the first occurrence of alms in verse 1. While traditional text, which is an underlying Greek text for King James Bible, uses a word for alms, the modern text uses a word for righteousness. So NASB or NIV, I'm sure that they have translated this particular word as righteousness, while King James verse translation has alms. Thus, we should know that behind all these translations, there are issues not only about the translation philosophies, but also different Greek words. Let me go back to the Greek word for alms. The Greek word for alms in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4 means a few things. Number one, it means mercy, pity, especially as exhibited in giving alms or charity. Number two, the benefaction itself, or a donation to the poor. Basically, that is the definition of the Greek word for alms. It occurs 14 times in the Greek New Testament, and it is translated as alms 13 times, and the remaining one time it is translated as alms deeds. The same Greek word is used in Acts chapter 9, verse 36, which says, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas, this woman was full of good works and alms deeds. That is exactly the same word that we can find from Matthew chapter 6. A word derived from the same Greek word was used by Greek-speaking Jewish people to denote almost exclusively the offering of charity to the needy from a feeling of both compassion and righteousness. It is quite interesting to notice that, in fact, in the Old Testament, almsgiving or charity is closely related to the concept of righteousness. It is very interesting. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 27 says this, Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. Here the Hebrew word for righteousness is translated into the same Greek word we find from Matthew chapter 6 verses 1 to 4, alms. Almsgiving or charity is being considered as an act of righteousness. Proverbs 21 verse 21 says, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. The word almsgiving, however, is far from expressing the full meaning of the Hebrew word for righteousness, even though almsgiving is a part of the righteous acts or activities. However, obviously, when we are talking about righteousness, it is more than almsgiving or charity. According to the Mosaic teachings, wealth is a loan from God. Isn't it interesting? Wealth is a loan from God, and the poor have a certain claim on the possessions of the rich. Then if that concept is right, then the rich and wealthy have responsibilities and duties to share what they have with the people who do not have. It becomes a responsibility. It becomes a Christian duty to share the things, riches and wealth, with the needy people. While the rich are positively enjoined to share God's bounties with the poor, wealth is a loan. The poor have a certain claim on the possessions of the rich. The Lord teaches us about charity or charity work in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Let me begin with the first point, the importance of charity or charity work. If Jesus wanted to talk about charity or charity work, then this subject must be really important subject that we need to pay attention to. And besides that, Jesus is speaking to a group of Jewish audience who understood the Old Testament alone as the rule of their life. Thus, our efforts to understand the Old Testament concept and Jewish notion of charity are very important to our studies today. How does the Old Testament view of charity or almsgiving? There is a very important passage for our better understanding of charity from the Old Testament. Let us turn our scriptures to Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 10 to 13. Deuteronomy 24, 10 to 13. Deuteronomy 24, verses 10 to 13. Let's read it together. Then thou dost lend thy brother anything, thou shalt not go into his house to fetch his pledge. Thou shalt stand abroad, and the man to whom thou dost lend shall bring out the pledge abroad unto thee. And if the man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. In any case, thou shalt deliver him the pledge again when the sun goeth down, that he may sleep in his own raiment, and bless thee, and it shall be righteousness unto thee before the Lord thy God. Amen. Well, it is very interesting, because here is a very poor person, and you have lent some things to him, but somehow that person was not able to pay the money back. And so what are you going to do? You may go to his house to ask him to pay the things back, but you are not supposed to go inside of that person's house, and you are collecting his things out of his house. That is not allowed. Besides that, if that person is a really poor person and he's not able to pay something back, just in case if he has just outer garment as his wealth and riches, and that's all he has, and you may take it from him, but you are supposed to bring it back to that person before the sun sets, because maybe that outer raiment or garment is something that he has to use to cover his body at night in the cold weather. And so you have to be gracious and merciful to the poor people and needy ones. Then he may sleep in his own raiment, according to verse 13, and bless thee, and it shall be righteousness. It shall be a righteousness unto thee before the Lord thy God. The Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, called the Septuagint, the Septuagint translators understood the word righteousness in verse 13 as almsgiving or charity. Being merciful to the poor is of righteousness. You know, some Christians have a kind of dichotomized view of righteousness. They may say, I believe in God, I love God, I have given the things to the Lord, I go to church every Sunday, therefore I must be justified and I must be a clean and righteous person. Maybe by faith he's justified so that he may be saved. However, by life, if he's not charitable, if he's not merciful, then actually he has not done anything which is righteous in his life or in his life. Being merciful to the poor is of righteousness. The same Greek word we find in Matthew chapter 6 verses 1 to 4 is used in Deuteronomy chapter 24 verse 13, which we just read. Here is a relation between the concept of righteousness and the concept of charity. That's why Christians who are justified by believing in Jesus Christ cannot be and should not be, shall never be a selfish person. Christians are to share. Share the things with the people who do not have. Let me begin with righteousness. When we are talking about righteousness now, we are not talking about our imputed or forensic righteousness required for our salvation. Righteousness in our discussions today is understood as an act or work. Okay? So we are not talking about salvation itself, but maybe we are talking about the way of life of those people who are saved by grace, who are justified by believing in Jesus. Thus, Isaiah 32, verse 17 says this. Isaiah 32, verse 17 says, and the work of righteousness, shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Work of righteousness. Psalm 106 verse 3 says, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. This is something that James has been trying to teach us from the book of James in the New Testament. If you have faith in Christ, then James challenges the believers, show me your faith. In other words, if you are truly justified and you are righteous before God by faith, then show me your righteous living. That's what James is challenging. But where is the work of righteousness? Have we done the works of righteousness? Here we see problems found in both the Jews and the Gentile believers. The Jews in Jesus' days thought that good works or righteous deeds alone could lead them to heaven or heavenly rewards. So if you check out all those charity organizations or the most charitable people in the world, you will find that predominantly they are Jewish people. It is because they believe that charity or charitable work is going to give them salvation or the entrance into heaven. And in Jesus' days, they had exactly the same idea. Good works or righteous deeds alone could lead them to heaven or heavenly rewards. It had misled them to glory meticulous observances of the law without considering the spirit of the law. On the other hand, quite often, it is a problem of Christians today that they consider good deeds or righteous acts or works are not to be emphasized too much, as if such emphasis will lead them to legalism, and both are wrong. From Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 13, which we read a few moments ago, we should know and learn that a work of charity is in fact a mandate. It's a command. It is mandated and necessarily all the believers of God must do. And this is a necessary command or mandate for all God's good people. By the way, it is not just the teaching of the Old Testament for Jewish people. In fact, it is also taught in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9. Now let us turn our scriptures to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9, let's read it together. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Amen. Did you hear that? Those ones who have been dispersing abroad, those people who have given to the poor, their righteousness remains forever. That's the New Testament teaching. A believer's charity work or a charitable spirit of helping and assisting the poor is considered for his righteousness, and it remains forever. Especially, we must pay attention to the last word, forever. What we are doing now through our charity has effects and makes effects for eternity. And in eternity. It is the value of charity work. As we know, Hebrews 11 is a chapter of faith. However, it does not mean that this faith chapter does not teach us to do the work of, righteousness. Just to believe that's okay. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 33 says this, who through faith subdued kingdoms wrought righteousness. If someone has faith in Christ Jesus, the person is supposed to work for righteousness, work of righteousness. We may think that we can make donations to good causes once in a while and feel proud of ourselves. I'm not sure how often you have made donations to the right causes or contributions to the right causes. And I'm not sure how often have you considered the poor and needy by taking actions in order to relieve their burdens of life through your donations and contributions. The scripture tells us that charity work is a way of life for all believers of God. It is a way of life. If you have not been charitable, if you have not done any charity work, if you have not made any donations or contributions in order to relieve the burdens of the poor people, needy people, and so on, then actually you have been neglecting your Christian duty and my Christian duty and responsibility. It is not an option, but a necessity. The importance of it will also be found in its reward in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4 very clearly makes that affirmation. Charity is a, my friend, duty. It is not an option. It is a responsibility that all Christians must carry. Deuteronomy chapter 15 verses 10 and 11 say this. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. Because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor and to thy needy in thy land. God says, I commend you. And this is a command. You shall open your hand wide unto your brother, your poor, and your needy in your land. That is a command. So if we have not been charitable, then we have been neglecting our duty, and that is a sure sign that we have been selfish. We have been greedy. And we have been earthly bound people if we have not been charitable. The charity work or charity is a way to fulfill the laws of God, which teach us to love our neighbors as ourselves. If we carefully read the Mosaic Law, the right of proprietorship does not extend. In other words, you may have a field, but your ownership does not extend to the corners of the field. The gleaning of the harvest, the forgotten sheaf, and the growth of the seventh year. Let me ask you to turn your scriptures to Leviticus chapter 19, 1-9, verse 9. Leviticus 19, verse 9. 19:9. Let's read it. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. Even though this is your field, when you are going to the field for harvest, you are not supposed to collect everything without leaving anything behind. You are supposed to be. You are supposed to leave something behind purposefully and intentionally. And Leviticus 23, verse 22, let's read it. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make a clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest. Neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Amen. You are supposed to leave something behind you, even though the field belongs to you, and you have a right to collect them all, but God says, do not do that. Leave something behind so that the strangers and poor and the needy will come and they will be able to collect them for their survival. That is the Christian way of living. That is the life, the way of life of all those people who believe in God. In that regard, I think we Christians have been very selfish and greedy. Every time they pray for their own blessings, and if God blesses us, how are we going to use God's blessings from heaven? Probably just for ourselves, just for our kids. That's it. We have never extended our hospitality. We have never extended our charity to those people who cannot pay things back if we are charitable to them. So we have to change our mindset. We begin to learn to open up our pockets for those people who are in need. Exodus chapter 23, verse 11. Exodus chapter 23, verse 11. let's read it. Exodus chapter 23, verse 11. But the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In a like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with olive yard. Amen. Well, the seventh year, let everything rest. So you are not supposed to cultivate anything on the seventh, in the seventh year from your field and so on. However, you have to just leave them alone so that the strangers and poor people will be able to come and collect those things for their living. Deuteronomy 24, verses 19 to 21 says this. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot the sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thine vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. So there have to be some provisions for those poor ones and needy ones around us or amongst us. And the ones who have must be willing to share the things that they have with those ones who do not have. All these verses appear to teach us that God's gifts, all of God's blessings, are not just for our pleasure and for our use only, but they are also for the needy and the poor ones. Deuteronomy 16, verse 11. Deuteronomy 16, verse 11 says this. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son, and thy daughter, and thy manservant, and thy maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are among you in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. Then verse 14, Deuteronomy 16, and thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates. In other words, when you're rejoicing over the things that you have received from the Lord and blessings and so on, you are supposed to rejoice together with not only you, your sons, your daughters, but also your manservant, your maidservant, and the Levite. It's interesting why the Lord has put the Levites here. Maybe in today's terms, they are referring to the missionaries, evangelists, and ministers, and God's servants, full-time Christian workers. Maybe you may have to consider them. The stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within your gates. So as long as you can... You can see, if you find someone within this category and you know that they have needs, then you are supposed to bring them in under your arms, under your wings, for protection and provision. The charity work is of God's business. It is God's business. How often do you want to know what the will of God is for you? Here is one of the ways that you can find the will of God for your life. Charity. Be charitable to other people. Share the things that you have with those ones who do not have. Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 18 says this. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. The fatherless and widows are not disadvantaged because of their present condition of living on earth. It is the believer's duty to look after them. God loves the strangers by giving them food and clothes. And I hope that as our church grows, as your income grows, I hope that in our offering, there will be more offerings given to the righteous causes for even charitable work. Not only for your needs, but also for the needs of the people in the mission fields. Maybe those people who are in need. That's the reason that God blesses us. And that is the way that we can fulfill the will of God. At the same time, that is the way that we can lay up our treasures in heaven. Leviticus 25 verse 35 says this. Leviticus 25 verse 35. And if thy brother be waxen poor, and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. So if your brother becomes so poor, and he has needs, help him out. And even though your brother in Christ may be a stranger to you, and a sojourner, but still, you are responsible to help the person out as much as you can. Isaiah 58 verse 7 says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Proverbs, you may want to read this. Proverbs 14:31. Proverbs 14:31. Proverbs 14:31 says, let's read it. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. He that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. Whoever honors the maker, the creator, has mercy on the poor. That is the true spirit of the believers of God. Job says in Job 29 verse 15, I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. Proverbs 31 verse 20 is talking about one of the aspects of a virtuous woman. Proverbs 31 verse 20 says, a virtuous woman stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And I hope that all the women in our church are virtuous people who can extend their hands to those people who are in needs. Proverbs 16 verse 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. It's quite very interesting. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By your charity, even your sin may be covered. Charity is to be extended to all our actions, treatments toward other people. Genesis 47 verse 29 says, and the time drew nigh that Israel or Jacob must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. Well, the Greek Old Testament used the same Greek word we find from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, and translated as kindly in this verse. Charity goes beyond just giving away some financial support. Kind spirit. One amazing truth is that this Greek word is used to translate a Hebrew word which is usually translated as mercy in the Old Testament. Well, the biblical notion of charity means more than donations or contributions to certain causes. It is almost like a fundamental of all human behaviors. Charity is an obligation of all humankind, and it must include all the kind acts we can think of. Abraham treated strangers kindly in Genesis chapter 18 verse 3. Through this act of charity, he met the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13 verses 1 to 3 says this. Let brotherly love continue. Would you like to read this? Hebrews chapter 13 verses 1 to 3. Hebrews chapter 13 verses 1 to 3. Let's read it together. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Amen. That is the Christian spirit. That is the way that we must live with. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Charity is an important part of Christian life. If you have been frugal, and sometimes you may want to reason why you have been frugal. If the frugality is for your own selfish reasons, then your frugality must have given you a lot of advantages, but your frugality has not brought any glory unto God yet. If we want to accumulate more wealth to our existing wealth and riches and bank accounts and so on, I think that is an honorable thing. However, there has to be a right purposes and reasons why you want more. If you have been praying to the Lord for blessings to you, it is good. And I think we all always need to depend on God for His blessings and so on. But what is the purpose and goal of your asking to the Lord for God's blessings? It is, if it is just for your own comforts, your own pleasure, your own use alone, then you are not doing well. Charity is a Christian duty and responsibility. My second point is this. There are certain principles when we are doing charity. Basically, we can think of four principles concerning charity works. The number one principle is found from every verse in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Let me read Matthew 6, 1 to 4 once again. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Well, number one, verse 1 says that charity is not for selfish reasons, such as gaining man's recognition. So in other words, I have done this much, therefore, can't you see me? You know, sometimes in Christian churches, some people can be a great donor, and very generous donor, but at the same time, they are asking for recognitions. But that is not something that we are supposed to do. We are not supposed to be charitable because we want to be shown or seen by people so that people may commend us and recognize us with honor and glory and so on. That is not the right one. And number two, verse 2 says that charity should not be done for the glory of men. Otherwise, it becomes a hypocrisy. Because on the one hand, he says, I'm doing it for the Lord's sake, but he takes all the glory out of it. Then he becomes a hypocrite. It makes us puzzled, I think, when we do our charity works, if we blow trumpets before us so that others may notice that what we are doing, we become hypocrites. Why is it so? One incredible truth we find from here is that charity is for the honor and glory of God. The purpose, the goal of charity is to bring honor and glory unto God. The ones who do charity works are doing the work of God for His glory. It also indicates that all things we have today are God's. The true spirit of Christian charity is spiritual, God-honoring, and heavenly and divine. Thus, if we take any part of the glory, then we become hypocrites, because the glory does not belong to us, but we claim the glory for ourselves. At the same time as we bring glory and honor to God with our charity work, we do recognize that all things belong to God, and what we are doing is to do His work with His own possessions. Thus, we cannot but be charitable with the attitude of humility. That's why when we are doing charity with our left hand, we should not let our right hand know of it. Otherwise, we want to have recognition, glory, credit out of it. Number 3, verse 3 says that charity is to be a way of life, even to the extent that the left hand may not know what the right hand is doing. Secrecy. Number 4, verse 4 says that charity work is to be done in secret, which means that we do not seek for recognitions or man's glory as we are charitable. So oftentimes, as I've been in the ministry, different individuals came to me with special gifts. And they say something like this, Pastor Key, this is some gift that I want to use for God's work or missions work for certain individuals and so on, but I do not want to be found. Can you pass it to those ministries or those individuals and so on? They want to have secrecy. Well, that is an honorable spirit. It also protects the rights and dignity of the ones who receive our charity. Because sometimes when we are giving, we can be very proud. Here we go. this is my gift for you. The ones who receive gifts from us may feel humiliated. And we do not want that. Therefore, there has to be a spirit of humility. It is not to offend the recipients. The second principle is a principle of priorities. The basic idea is that though we are charitable, we should never forget that we have responsibilities toward ourselves and those who are under our care. In other words, I cannot look after my neighbor's kids while I'm neglecting my own kids. There are priorities. God has given us responsibilities and duties to look after. As a father, I am responsible for my children. As a husband, I am responsible for my wife while I'm looking after my neighbor's wife if I'm going to neglect my own wife. So if he suffers, then something is not right. There has to be always a right priority. As a son, I am responsible for my parents. While I'm looking after others, if I abandon my primary duties for my family, then I'm not doing well. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4 and 8 say this. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, "But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite, recompense their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God." Verse 8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." So if someone says, "I have faith and I'm spiritual, I'm doing spiritual work, but if I'm neglecting my own duties and responsibilities, especially my own families," then the scripture says, in fact, I am worse than the infidels. So there are proper priorities. The third principle is a principle of obedience. Charity is a command, and what is required of us is obedience. Micah chapter 6 verse 8 says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy." In Daniel chapter 4 verse 27, Daniel was speaking to the king Nebuchadnezzar. And this is what he said to the king Nebuchadnezzar. "Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." Proverbs 10 verse 2 says, "Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death." Well, in this verse it is worth noting that the treasures of wickedness are in contrast to righteousness in this verse. And Matthew chapter 25 verses 31 to 46 is a very good passage that you may want to read later on. And just let me read a few verses for you from Matthew chapter 25 verses 31 to 46. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." So Jesus Christ comes again. He sits on the throne of his glory. Verse 32. "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." So he sits on the throne and all the nation come to him, and he's dividing them, one to the right and one to the left and so on. Verse 33. "And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Listen, come ye blessed my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So on the right hand side, the sheep are gathered and they are being pronounced to be the blessed ones by receiving the inheritance from the father. Then verse 35, Jesus is giving them a reason why. "For I was an hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and he took me in. Naked, he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came unto me. Wow. Did you hear all those reasons why those people are to be blessed and inherited from the Lord? And verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For the reason is found in 41, verse 41. For I was an hungered, ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. In other words, no charity or uncharitable spirit is a characteristic of the unsaved. And those people who are saved by the grace of God are charitable people. The fourth principle is a principle of no deception. It should not surprise us that charity can be deceivable in two ways. One way of deception takes place on the side of the receivers. They may not have needs, but take things from others by deception. They are not genuinely needy and poor people, but they are deceiving others so that they can receive some of the things. You know, today a lot of people are talking about abuses in the welfare system and so on. And maybe those cases may be related to those abuses. And they may not have needs, but taking things from others by deception. One of the Jewish apocryphal books is the book of Ecclesiasticus. And it was probably written around the first half of the 2nd century B.C. It was called also as the Wisdom of Jesus, or Jesus, the son of Sirach. Ecclesiasticus, it's not in the Bible, but a Jewish apocryphal book. Chapter 12, verse 1 says this. If thou do good, in other words, if you want to do good things to other people, know to whom thou dost it. In other words, make sure that those people who are receiving your charity are worthy of your charity. And you are not being deceived. So being charitable to other people does not mean that we have to give things away without discretion. There has to be careful examination as well. And sometimes people are coming for, you know, some things from church or from the church pastor or things like that. And do we have to give always something to them? Well, we have to be very careful when we give things away. By giving things to them, maybe we may hurt them. And they may spend your precious resources for unworthy causes. And so we should not give things to them in those cases. The other way of deception takes place in the hearts of the givers themselves, if they are hypocrites. Psalm 41, verse 1 says, blessed, this is a really precious verse. I hope that you can remember this. Psalm 41, verse 1 says this, blessed is he. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. It's almost like a Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, you know. In chapter 5. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Psalm 112, verse 9. Would you like to read it? Psalm 112, verse 9. Let's read it. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. Amen. He hath dispersed, in other words, distribute, share. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. It has eternal value. Now lastly, the heavenliness of charity work. Let me read Matthew 6, 1-4 once again. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms. Do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Well, one of the primary reasons why we do not show our charity lies in our selfishness. Doing charity has to cost us. You know, being charitable or charitable person sounds wonderful. If we do not think that the charity will cost you. You know, people tend to be very charitable as long as they are not required to sacrifice themselves. As long as charity doesn't cost them, everybody wants to be charitable. Who does not like to be charitable? Is there anybody who hates charity? I think we want to be charitable. But as soon as price tag comes with it, most people do not practice it. Charity comes with price tags. And that's why Christians have felt it difficult to practice charity. And there are always, you know, different kinds of people as far as financial matters are concerned. Some people, even though they have enough, always what they are talking about is money. And always what they are talking about is, you know, how little money they have. And they are trying to convince other people that they are really poor, while there are genuinely poor people. In comparison to the genuinely poor people, these people have everything what they need. In fact, what they want is something that is not really necessary for their living or sustaining their lives. But in the meanwhile, there are people who are genuinely needy and poor, but they are thankful for what they have. Isn't it interesting? And I'm not sure which camp you belong to, and I belong to, and I hope that we'll be able to say thank you to the Lord for the things that we have. At the same time, we'll have a genuine heart to be willing to pay the price in order to be charitable. Charity, what God wants us to do, is also against our flesh. Oh, if I spare it for myself, if I keep it for my children, if I keep it for my future, and so on, you know, all those things are pulling us down. However, charity, what God wants us to do, is not to be promoted for wrong things. What our flesh wants is praises, recognitions, and commendations for what we are doing. But we are not supposed to do those things, the charitable work, because of those reasons. Instead, secrecy is the key before God. The nature of Christian charity is heavenly. It is very clear from the passage we are studying. Number one, verse 1 says that it should not be done to be seen by men. Otherwise, there is no reward of God the Father who is in heaven. Number 2, verse 2 also talks about the reward. It is obvious that the needy cannot reward the givers on earth. This reward is also heavenly. Number 3, verse 4 says about God who sees what we are doing in secret and will reward us accordingly. Thus, as we can see, God is involved in Christian charity because he sees and evaluates it and rewards accordingly. God sees every one of your charity work and your charitable deeds. It is a very striking teaching that God sees our charity and rewards us accordingly. The Greek word for reward as a verb in verse 4 means to deliver, to give away for one's own profit what is one's own. Or reward means to pay off or to give it back or to recompense. In other words, it may cost us here, but it is not going to be the loss in eternity. God is going to reward us in public. Publicly, that's what the scripture says. Charity is considered almost like loans given to God, who will eventually have to pay it back. Think about Cornelius again. Acts chapter 10 verse 4 says, "And when he looked on him, he was afraid." He was looking at the Lord's angel. "He was afraid and said, 'What is it, Lord?' And the angel said to Cornelius," this is what angel said, "'Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." Before God. So last part of my message, let us turn our scriptures to Proverbs 19 verse 17. Proverbs 19, 17. Let's read it. "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." Amen. Do you believe God's word? This is what God says. If you really believe in God and His truth, in the Bible as God's word, why don't you practice it? It says, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." So, whenever you are doing, showing charity, actually you are lending things to the Lord, and God obligates or binds himself to pay it back with rewards. God is interested in our charity and our charity work. You know, over the years, a lot of people have been involved in my ministry. Right from the beginning of my theological training, a lot of people have been doing the charity work for the ministry of God, I think in my personal life and through my ministry. And some of those people, I did have an opportunity and privilege to be able to meet up with them, meet up with some of those people during our recent trip to the States. And we could not but give thanks to the Lord how the Lord had met their needs, and He has blessed them according to what they have done for the Lord. God does not forget what you are doing in charity. If you truly believe in the eternal kingdom of God, if you truly believe in eternal life, if you truly believe in the truth of God in the scriptures, be charitable. Be charitable. Don't be selfish. Always greedy. I want more. Oh, how I am, you know, how poor I am. Can you get some help for me? And I can get some more. Let us get rid of greedy and covetous spirit, which is idolatry. And let us be charitable. Let us show our charity. Charity is a Christian duty and responsibility. It is difficult because it requires our sacrifice. At the same time, it requires secrecy. However, God knows what we are doing, and God will do according to what we are doing. He remembers and rewards us accordingly. The level of our charity also reflects the level of our maturity and self-denial. Unless we deny ourselves, we will not be able to be charitable. It is because we cannot be charitable while we hold on to our things. We gave to the Chilean Relief Fund. This is just one of the examples. It is good. Let us be charitable. Let us look to the Lord in prayer.